नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Text 29? We read from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, 6th chapter, text 29. Sarva Bhuta Stane Atmanam Sarva Bhutani Chatmani Ikshate Yoga Yuktatma Sarvatra Samadarshana Sarva Bhutastam Atmanam Sarva Bhutani Chatmani Ikshate Yoga Yuktatma Sarvatra Samadarshana Sarva Bhutastam Atmanam Sarva Bhutani Chatmani Ikshate Yoga Yuktatma Sarvatra Samadarshana Sarva Bhutastam. Situated in all beings, Atmanam, the super soul, Sarva, all, Bhutam, entities, Cha, also, Atmani, in the self, Ikshate, Tasi, Yoga, Yukta Atmana. One who is dovetailed in Krishna consciousness. Sarvatra, everywhere. Samadarshana, seeing equally. Translation purport by Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. A true yogi observes me in all beings and also sees every being in me. Indeed, the self-realized person sees me, the same Supreme Lord, everywhere. Purport. A Krishna-conscious yogi is the perfect seer because he sees Krishna the Supreme situated in everyone's heart as Super Soul, Paramatma. Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Ridesha Chuna Tishtati. The Lord, in His Paramatma feature, is situated within both the heart and both the heart of the dog and that of a Brahmana. The perfect yogi knows that the Lord is eternally transcendental and is not materially affected by His presence in either a dog or a Brahmana. That is the supreme neutrality of the Lord. The individual soul is also situated in the individual heart, but he is not present in all hearts. That is the distinction between the individual soul and the super soul. One who is not factually in the practice of yoga cannot see so clearly. A Krishna conscious person can see Krishna in the heart of both the believer and the non-believer. In the Smriti Shastra, means Vedas, this is confirmed as follows. Atma vachcha matra vachcha atma hi paramo hari. The Lord, being the source of all beings is like the mother and the maintainer. As the mother is neutral to all different kinds of children, the Supreme Father or Mother is also consequently the Supersoul is always in every living being. Outwardly, also every living being is situated in the energy of the Lord. As will be explained in the 7th chapter, the Lord has primarily two energies, the spiritual or superior and the material or inferior. The living entity, although part of the supreme energy, is conditioned by the inferior energy. The living entity is always in the Lord's energy. Every living entity is situated in Him in one way or other. The yogi sees equally because he sees that all living entities, although in different situations according to the results of fruitive work, in all circumstances remains the servants of God. While in the material energy, the living entity serves the material senses, and while in the spiritual energy, he serves the Supreme Lord directly. In either case, the living entity is the servant of God. His vision is equally imperfect, is perfect in a person in Krishna consciousness. Sarva bhutastam atmanam sarva bhutani chatmani ikshate yoga yuktatma sarvatma samadarshana. A true yogi observes me in all beings and also sees every being in me. Indeed, the self-realized person sees me, the same Supreme Lord, everywhere.
Om akyat varanyasya kananchana salakyam chakshuru militam yena tasma shri kuravena maha. Sichatani manobistam stapidam yena bhutale svayam rupa kadamayam tatati svapadantikam. Vanchakalpatrubhyascha kripasindibhevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktarinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So here in this section of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is explaining to Arjuna the actual absorption and point of meditation for an experienced or for a real yogi. Is a real yogi described here. Completely absorbed in the higher stage after withdrawing the senses from the sense objects, atyahara. He starts to contemplate within the heart, to meditate. It's called dharana. First, in an imaginative way, he's putting an imagination of the Lord as a focus point of his meditation. So that is described in Bhagavad Gita. Then the Lord is situated like on an altar, and one imagines him in the size of Paramatma with four arms, with all the symbols, with yellow dress, with lotus eyes, smile, like that. So the yogi starts to meditate in the beginning, because as long the heart or mind is not completely purified, the Lord cannot directly be perceived. Sakshat Darshan. The Sakshat Darshan of the Lord is only available on the level of Samadhi. So this stage after Atyahara, withdrawing the senses from the sense objects and fixing them in the heart, trying to meditate about the super soul, is a process of the yogi to train his mind to fix on the personality of Godhead. But later on, this is not will not be fictive anymore. The Lord really will reveal. So ultimately, of course, this fixation, this of the deity or the form of the Lord, is not an imagination that we can take any form and put it in our heart. It should be a bona fide form described in the Shastras. In the Yoga Shastras and in the Puranas, Upanishads, throughout the Vedas, that's the major point of description, how to meditate and how to see the Lord within the heart. Also in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadev Goswami is describing this process of yoga to Maharaj Parikshit. So he mentions that there are two recognized paths described in the Vedas, describing how a yogi can advance and attain the perfection of life, liberation, or even, if he is very fortunate, Vaikuntha. Because yoga is in, is in Vaidhi, that means under following strict rules and regulations, under direction of Vidhi, that means knowledge given by Guru and Shastra and Sadhus. And the fortunate yogi can, the maximum what he can attain is a Vaikuntha. That means he can become one of the associates of the Lord in the Vaikuntha planet of Lakshmi Narayana. But actually that's very rare for a yogi, because most of the yogis, they either want to merge into the Brahman, that means in the impersonal effulgence of the Lord, that's the first. This is a Nirvishesha yogi, or a yogi who only wants to meditate about the impersonal form of the Lord. He's not believing that the form is ultimately transcendental. Although they also use maybe a form of the Lord or a deity to meditate and to worship, but ultimately they give it up because they consider it a material form and not transcendental. So they use it as a help. They also use mantra to help, even chant Hare Krishna, but ultimately they will give it up and become silent, completely in peace, meditating. Therefore, this meditation described in the scriptures actually neutrality. On the neutral platform, the yogi tries to observe the Lord either in the impersonal feature or in the personal feature. That's according to his interest and according to the direction given by his guru, according to the guru's realization. The yogi, either the neophyte yogi, novice, he will take up the process of meditation about Brahman, and or the more advanced yogi meditates about the super soul. First, fictive, as already explained, by imagining the form in the heart, forearm form of Vishnu. And then he is very advanced, becoming purified by that meditation and worship of the meditating about the transcendental form, beginning with the lotus feet, ankle bells, meditating about the tights of the Lord, the chest with the Shri Vatsa, and a garland or nice ornament with a chadar, with a beautiful lotus face, with smile and lotus eyes, with a curly blackish hair, and a mukul, a crown without peacock feather in the case of the yogi, because he meditates about Vishnu. He has no peacock feather, no flute. So he meditates about this beautiful form of the Lord as Paramatma, his Purusha. It's an expansion of an expansion, a partial expansion of Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna is the most beautiful, so Paramatma, Purusha, avatar is also very attractive, very beautiful. So the yogi who is meditating about or getting the darshan of the Lord, he becomes very charmed by seeing the beautiful face and appearance of the Lord. First in meditation of the deity, either in front of him or in the heart, and then later on he doesn't see a difference anymore between the deity and the Lord himself. That means the Lord himself will appear, because the deity and the picture what one puts in the mind according to the direction of the scriptures, it's not different from Krishna. It's not different from the Lord. It is transcendental. It is completely pure. Because the Lord is never coming in touch with the material energy. He's always Param. Therefore, He's Paramatma. There are two Atmas, the Paramatma and the Atma, the living entity, the Jivatma. The Jivatma only knows something about his own life, about his own body. That's his Kshetra, his life, his place of knowledge. But the Paramatma, the Super Soul, he knows what is going on in everyone's heart. That's described later on in the Gita, how the Paramatma, Savasya Chaham Ridi Sani Vishto, Matak Smitya Jnanam Apohanam Cha, Vedaishta Sarvair, Aham Eva Vidya, Vedanta Krit Veda Vida Eva Chaham. There is described that how the Supreme Lord, he knows everything, because he lives in every living entity, and is aware about everyone's thoughts and desires, and he is responding or revealing himself and giving us results according to our desires. So if we like to know him as he is, then the Lord will reveal this knowledge and also his original form, transcendental form, to the devotee. And if he wants to forget him, that's also the mercy of the Lord. He will give you forgetfulness. If you want to have knowledge about him, he will give you knowledge, otherwise forgetfulness. Both is dependent by the Lord, given by the Lord. So the goal of the Vedas is to know him, to realize him. Because he's the goal of the Veda, he's the knower of the Veda. And he's also the author, the compiler of the Vedas. Veda Narayana Sakshat. Vedas are not man-made. They're aparoshaya. They're not man-made. He comes directly. Vedas are emanating from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, from the Paramapurusha. From the Paramapurusha, the Vedas are emanating. So the knowledge, how to understand him, how to attain him, is revealed. Sometimes Vedas are understood and sometimes not understood. And therefore, to make the Vedas understandable, the Lord personally appears again and again in the world to teach the people how how to understand him, how to practice, what to practice, which process to practice to attain him and to understand him. So sometimes he sends his representative, or as already mentioned, he comes himself to reveal this lost knowledge. No. So, because the Vedic knowledge is eternal, it's coming from the Lord. So the Lord is always interested that the people are in the world, this knowledge is revealed. Sometimes it is very confidential, only a few ones know it. Clear? Okay? And sometimes more will know it. Like nowadays, due to the Sankirtan, more people will become aware due to distributing books and preaching activities. But previously, it was not so much well known. It was only known to the disciple who followed the instruction of Guru. And gurus at that time had not many disciples, only one, two, or a handful maybe, to whom they gave these confidential instructions. So there was a very strict criteria how to accept a disciple, a testing period, very, very strict, especially in these yoga schools in the Himalayas. They have very strict conditions that a Siddha guru or yogi, Siddha yogi, will accept them as shishya, as disciple. So anyone who with worldly mindedness or with just some curiosity will come somewhere to the Himalayas or in ashram to find out from the guru what is this yoga process about, he will not even see that guru. Because the guru is not recognizable unless Krishna reveals him to the sincere disciples or a person who is showing genuine interest. Then guru is revealed by Krishna. Guru is not a fashion. It is not something we can go to a mela or a shopping center to find, or pilgrimage place. Where is the guru I can choose? In a mall or exhibition. This is materialistic. If the guru is exhibited, there's a whole gallery of gurus. And you can choose him according how he smiles and about his appearance and about his hairstyle and beard or no beard or mustache. And according to the length of the hair. That's some of the symptoms that the people are looking at. He looks beautiful. He looks young, fresh, or very old and very gray, very sage-like. So like that. But this is all worldly view. This is a materialistic view. One has to see a yogi or also a devotee. With the view of the Shastra. Therefore it is described Tatviti Paripratena Pariprasnena Sevaya Upadekshanti Dekyana Gyaninas Tatvadashina. One has to approach a spiritual master. One has to and ask questions and serve him. Be curious. Be sincere. And then the spiritual master revealed the knowledge to you. So Krishna, he was the original spiritual master. So he revealed this knowledge to Arjuna. Because Arjuna was qualified. He was a devotee. He had faith in Krishna. He was surrendered to Krishna. Therefore, Krishna was ready to reveal to him confidential knowledge, more confidential and more confidential, up to the highest perfection. And Krishna told Arjuna, this knowledge, confidential knowledge, should not be taught to the fools and rascals and non-believers. They cannot understand. So one can go to yoga studio and perform so many yoga exercises and pay a lot of money, and but that doesn't make you a yogi. So yoga means one has to become shishya, one has to surrender. One has to surrender to Guru faithfully and with a service attitude. And only if the Guru is satisfied with the service, Adha Guru Ashraya, and Seva, and following Shiksha, he may give you Diksha or initiation in the process, how to make advancement in the sadhana of a certain yoga process, either in Jnana Yoga, or in Mystical Yoga, or in Bhakti Yoga. These are the three transcendental processes, Jnana Yoga, that means Sankhya, Mystical Yoga, Patanjali, means Astanga Yoga, and Bhakti Yoga. These are the three yoga paths described in the Bhagavad Gita and throughout the Vedas. And only these three paths are recognized as authorized paths. All other paths are bogus. They're speculative. They're invented in somebody's mind, and therefore they're rejected. Only the path that is given by the bona fide parampara, coming from higher source, from sages, from realized personalities, that kind of knowledge and that kind of process will lead us to perfection. It's not that we can follow any path and then any path leads to the same place. Like they say, you know, every river ultimately goes to the ocean. So not every river goes to the ocean. Many rivers also go out in the desert, dry out. Someone has to follow a certain path. And this is parampara. One has to receive mantra or a process from parampara. So otherwise it will not work. The process will not work. We cannot become elevated, we will not become purified. And especially we cannot make progress in the path of the yoga practice. The progress in the path of yoga practice is recognized by becoming first of all detached from the bodily conception of life. That means one has no more desires for demand, for his own comfort, for the fulfillment of his own desires, care for his own maintenance. Because the yogi understands everything is done by the nature and by the Lord's arrangement. He will take care. So he doesn't make special care for his bodily maintenance. Therefore he can become completely fixed in the meditation to the transcendental form. There are two ways how we can practice spiritual life. Either by meditation or by mantra, by chanting, kirtan, or japa, or kirtan. Of these both, kirtan is considered better. Because in meditation, one has to be advanced. One has to be pure. One has to be fixed. One has to be very determined. But this is only very rarely somebody can do. But kirtan, everyone can do. And through kirtan, everyone can become purified and can become elevated on the highest platform of a yogi. The yogi path is very enduring, takes a very long time, and the bhakti path of kirtan goes very fast. It's express way, it's lift, it's escalator, like rocket going to the spiritual world. Yeah. So kirtan, kirtanat eva krishnasya mukta sangam param rechet. Kali Yuga kirtan is especially recommended. But ultimately the goal is the same. If kirtan or meditation, the goal is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If you do kirtan, we should not ignore or avoid the meditation about the Lord. Otherwise, if you only do kirtan, that's very nice. Of course, deity worship is, the kirtan is not dependent on deity worship, but still, our Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, he introduced deity worship with kirtan together to make it foolproof, our advancement in Krishna consciousness. Because if we only do kirtan, this is also very it's very elevated. Actually, only some perfected, fixed devotee can only do kirtan. Fixed, with proper pronunciation and really in the mood of crying for Krishna. So this kind of kirtan is actually sada, means it's perfect, sida. Kirtaniya sadahari, this constant chanting. In the beginning stage we cannot constantly chant because mind is always diverted. Therefore we have to be engaged in different activities in sadhana bhakti, especially in deity worship. So to engage our body, mind and words and money in the service of the Lord. Especially for for Grihastha, it's recommended deity worship. Brahmacharis, the preachers going on Sankirtan, Harinam, they have no fixed residence. They only have taking shelter in the mission of the Sankirtan movement of the Spiritual Master and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that's their perfection. But Prabhupada also told, if we only go on Sankirtan and we don't learn how to meditate about the Lord and worship the Lord and develop a personal relationship with Him, one becomes a little rough. And becomes a little rough, you know, in behavior. And somebody who is only meditating and not doing sankirtan or preaching, he can be easily become swept away by sentimentalism. So to avoid these two pitfalls of sentimentalism or to be rough and rather a little uncultured in behavior, boating has to be go together. Bhagavad Mark is kirtan, Bhagavad Katha, this is kirtan also, this is Bhagavad Mark, and Pancharatri Kividi, this is deity worship, archana, means deity worship. So both should go together, parallel, Prabhupada mentioned. Then in this way one can make nice progress. And then ultimately do the chanting and service to the Lord, one develops a relationship with Him, and then not only sees Him in the heart or in His home in front of the altar or in a temple. Is avoiding or ignoring everything else, not seeing people or other devotees, cannot recognize who is an advanced devotee, who is a medium devotee, who is a new devotee. Then he is considered Kanishta, Kanishta Adhikari. So he only thinks about his own Lord, his my own meditation, my own bhajan. So that's okay for his own deliverance. But if one as on the Kanishta platform worships the Lord, but is not developing a favorable attitude to all living entities and seeing all living entities in relation with the Lord, then Lord Kapila Dev says this is a mentality of a separatist. And the separatist, although he's doing a worship of deity with a nice process of archanam, the Lord will not recognize it, will not accept it. It is actually like offering a ghee to ashes instead of the ghee of a fire. So ghee has to be offered to the fire, because fire is Vishnu Yajna. It's Vishnu, it's representing Vishnu, sacrificial fire. But if a devotee on the neophyte stage is separatist and is not recognizing other devotees and giving respect to other devotees according to the advancement or stage they are, then he's not very much advanced, then one is actually very much neophyte and almost like non-devotee. Because a real devotee, Krishna says, is not just meditating about the Lord in Vaikuntha or in the heart, because he says he's not there. The Lord is not in Vaikuntha, not in the heart of the yogis. He's wherever his devotees are coming together and to hear and chant about him, there the Lord is present. Machitta matkata pranal bodhayantas parasparam katayas jamam nitya tu shanti charamantica. So the devotee, Krishna explains, my devotee always like to associate together, hearing and chanting about me, reminding each other about Krishna, and serving together for my interest. So these devotees are very dear to me, because they offer me their service with priti, with affection. They're not envious. Somebody who is envious on other devotees or other people or other living entities, he cannot be a real devotee. Enviousness, that's the cause why we are in the material world. So only by Krishna consciousness, only by becoming aware that the Lord is in everyone's heart, and therefore offer our respect to the Lord in everyone's heart. This is very much important. To see everyone equally. Samadarsha. Samadarshana. What is the verse? No, this other one, Samadarshina verse, 5th chapter. Vidya vinaya sampane pramanigavi hashtini sunichaiva svapakecha pandita samadarshina. So the Samadarshina, it's in 5th chapter of the Gita, described by Krishna, that the devotee who is in knowledge about the super soul in everyone's heart, and that the Atma and the soul, super soul and soul, are always together. They're like two friends, although the one forgot him, other one always remembers, never forgot, but his witness is always there with you, always ready to help, patiently waiting until we are ready to surrender and approaching him. And therefore when we start to meditate about the Lord in the heart, then we can learn to see like a pandit, like a Brahmana pandit. He sees all living entities equally. He is neutral to all living entities. He is not partial. He is not partial to somebody whom he likes and somebody whom he doesn't like. Therefore he doesn't have enemy and friends. Didikshava karunika suridam sarva bhutanam suridam sarva dehinam achata satrava shanta sadhava sadhu bhushana. The bhushana, sadhu bhushanas are described by Lord Kapila Dev. That sadhu is ornamented with tolerance, with mercy, kindness, seeing all living entities equally, peaceful state of mind. Shanta is devotee, always pure, and he has no enemy. He has not ichha dvesha, somebody I like or I can enjoy, something I cannot enjoy, gives me displeasure, I hate it. So as long as we are on this ichha dvesha, or seeing enemy and friend, the duality of material existence, then we are firmly in the grasp of Maya, in the material energy. But Krishna says, my devotee who surrenders unto me, he comes under my internal energy. So we always have to float in the energy of Maya, either in Mahamaya or in Yoga Maya. Therefore we are always in Maya. We cannot be without Maya. Either Yoga Maya or Maha Maya. That's the choice. Living entity, we need Maya. Without energy, we cannot exist. Because it is the Maya who gives us some kind of pleasure. Ananda. We are all pleasure seeking. Ananda Maya. Abhyasad. But we cannot find it on our own. On our own endeavor. We cannot cannot enjoy ourselves by ourselves. And also other people cannot give this enjoyment to you. Because they are all in Mahamaya. They are all victims of the dark energy of the Lord. The shadow energy of the Lord. The ultimate pleasure can only be attained in Krishna consciousness or in coming in contact with the spiritual personality, with the Supreme Lord, Paramapurusha. Only with him in connection we can relish Ananda. We cannot gain it on ourselves. Therefore material world is no Ananda. It's only misery. Mixed with some relief, what we call pleasure. But it's actually misery. It's misery. Because it's only the reliefment of the misery we call pleasure. But real ananda or happiness we cannot find in the material world. Because it is not existing in the material world. It cannot exist because the ananda, the pure bliss, only is attainable on the platform of Shuddha Sattva, of the transcendental platform of purity, where the mind and the heart, senses become completely purified. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Uchate Sarvapati Vinyamuktam Tatparatvena Nirmala. Only if we become free of upadis, of false designations, identifications, and become purified, become completely purified of material, with the touch of material existence, then we can come in contact with the spiritual energy of the Lord. And the spiritual energy of the Lord is revealing the Lord. Ah. So what the spiritual master on the sadhana platform can give you, he give you sadhana to become purified, so that ultimately you can perceive and realize the Lord. But if you want to go to Krishna, it's not available by sadhana or vidhi, it's only by raga. By emotional feelings, either in Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya or Madhurya, Ras. Then we can understand and enter in the pastime, eternal pastimes of Devaki Nandana, the son of Devaki and Nanda Maharaj, Krishna, in Goloka, Vrindavan. It's the ultimate goal of a bhakta. So bhakta, a devotee, he doesn't want to become realized in impersonal Brahman realization or in Paramatma realization. They're actually not interested in these realizations. There was one Brahmana, Lord Chaitanya met him, and he composed a very nice verse about Nanda Maharaj. He glorified Nanda Maharaj, father of Krishna. And this Brahmana, he told, the followers of the Vedas meditate about the Brahman. May the yogis meditate about the Paramatma feature, or somebody about the universal form. But what is my concern? I only worship a small cowherd boy, the son of Nanda Maharaj, Krishna, who is crawling now in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj in his house in Nandagra in Gokul. That boy I'm worshipping. I'm meditating and worshipping about him. So that's the devotee in ecstatic love. He's not praying for Paramatma realization or Brahman realization or Viradrupa realization or attaining a lot of knowledge of Upanishads, studying many, many scriptures. No, he only likes to meditate and to worship Krishna in Vrindavan as the son of Nanda Maharaj. So this is the mood of Vrindavan. This is the meditation here. This is the bhajan here. This is the kirtan here. Therefore, meditation, bhajan, kirtan, all is focused on the same personality. And ultimately, kirtan leads to bhajan and to meditation, and meditation ultimately has to lead to bhajan and to kirtan. So it has to entail all these things, absorption, and do service to the Lord and also the Lord's devotees. Pleasing the Lord means pleasing the Lord's devotees and seeing all living entities as part and parcels of the Lord. Be affectionate to all living entities. Be good, well-wishing. So a devotee is jivadaya. So he's very merciful, very kind to all the jivas. Materialists cannot be kind to all living entities because they always think about themselves. Therefore, naturally, you see, you go in competition, you have enemy, you have friends. Only a devotee or a yogi on the highest platform, he can be see all living entities equally, samadarshana. But interesting, Srila Prabhupada's mood was He many times told, I'm not Samadashi. And whenever he met somebody who challenged him, oh, why you're not Samadashi? Why you're challenging yogis and the Mayavadis and whatever? And Prabhupada said, because I'm not Samadashi. I'm not on that level. I'm a preacher. I want to teach you Krishna consciousness, therefore I have to make distinction. A preacher has to make distinction. Although he is on the Samadashi platform, but he accepts the Madhyam platform, because there you can make distinction. For the sake of preaching, for expanding Krishna consciousness, the devotee sacrifices himself to make distinction. Who is devotee, who is not devotee? Whom to challenge and to whom we should have make friendship and love. It cannot be sentimentalism and love and peace for everyone. And at the same time killing animals or be considering ourselves God or the exploiters of the world. No, devotee is always humble. Therefore he's the greatest well-wisher. But he makes distinction. For some Vedantists or yogis, they think, what is he? He's not advanced. But actually we can see the advancement in the deeds, in the work of an acharya or of a devotee. What he's actually doing. What gift he gives for the mankind, for the people. And that's the real thing. That's the glories of the devotee. Before Prabhupada came to the West, nobody could make devotee really. But Prabhupada came, and he empowered his devotees, and they also could make devotees, because they became empowered by Srila Prabhupada. And in this way, Krishna consciousness movement was spreading all over the world. And it's still going on. It has no end. Because Prabhupada actually was real Samadashi. The proof is because he gives everyone the opportunity to come in contact with Krishna. Prabhupada sent his devotees everywhere, all over the world, even in very risky places to preach. To Iran, to Turkey, to China, to Russia, it's all a risky place, especially in that time. Even today, very risky. Prabhupada, he was open for everyone. He was Samadashi because he understood everyone is living entity, is a potential servant of Krishna. And by Sankirtan, and by book distribution, and by some association with devotees, prasadam, kirtan, this dormant love of Krishna or remembrance about Krishna will become reawakened. And that's the process. And that, therefore this process is especially recommended in Kali Yuga. And we should not think that this process is inferior to meditation of a yogi. No. It's even greater, because you cannot only deliver yourself, you deliver so many others who get an opportunity to hear about Krishna, to learn about Krishna, to surrender to Krishna, and to even go back home, back to Krishna, back to Godhead. Hare Krishna, I'm stopping here. Maybe any question?
Knowing this also, then why we are diverted in different forms of the Lord? different.
Why we are diverted in different forms of the Lord? Why don't we concentrate only on Krishna?
If you are a follower of Prabhupada, you are not diverted. No? If you are a follower of Prabhupada, you are not diverted. You, because he didn't give us another process than to chant Hare Krishna.
Still, sometimes we are diverted from Narasimha Bhagavan, sometimes to Vamandeva, sometimes to Ram, sometimes to Gornitai.
Yeah, Gornitai, hey. Gornitai is not different from Krishna. So without Gornitai we have no chance to worship Krishna. So they call you Gavatar.
He's teaching to that we should remember Krishna.
Huh?
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord himself is trying to chant the name of Krishna.
No, Ramadi Murtishu Kalani Amena Tishtam, an avatar. So they're uncountable avatars. No? Like Ram, Nisinga, Krishna, they're all incarnation avatars of Krishna. Sometimes as Nisingadev, sometimes as Ram, sometimes as Vamana. Sometimes in so many other forms they come. Over 20 forms, avatars are described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. 22 about this. Without Krishna, because Krishna is avatari. But sometimes he's counted as avatar, although he's actually avatari, he's the origin. Krishna through Bhagavan Svayam. And ultimately they are all Krishna. So they are all Krishna. But if you but the best form, supreme form of Krishna is of course the two arm form here in Vrindavan, playing the flute, the son of Nanda Maharaj, the lover of the gopis, the cowherd boy. And this is what Lord Chaitanya was teaching, what our Sampradaya is teaching. Other Sampradayas, they have other moods. Some they worship Lakshminarayana, some Sitaram. But in Gaudiya Vaishnava, mostly we're Radha Krishna worshippers, no? Gornitai, Radha Krishna, Krishna Balaram. So this is a main focus. It's Vrindavan mood. Other sampradayas have maybe other worship, other forms that they prefer. Even Lord Chaitanya had some devotees who were his devotees, but they preferred not to worship Radha Krishna, but Sitaram, Nisinghadev. Even Sridhar Maharaj, you know, the Bhagavatam commentator, he was actually Nisingadev Bhakta. That was his worshipable deity, Nisingadev. But still he is the great Acharya, and we cannot jump over him. Without Sridhar Maharaj, commentator of Srimad Bhagavatam, we cannot have access to the Srimad Bhagavatam. So therefore, every bona fide Vaishnava and commentator of Srimad Bhagavatam gives respect to Sripad Sridhar Swami, the original Bhagavatam commentator. Although he was not Radha Krishna worshipper himself. He was a Nisingadev worship. That was his Ishtadev. Ultimately, it doesn't matter. Ultimately, it doesn't matter, because there are all different forms of Krishna, and the Krishna Bhakta can understand that Krishna is also Ram, he's also Vamanadev, he's Nisingadev.
Sorry, one little anecdote from Patiavali. You want to hear it? Patiavali. Anecdote. Krishna, little baby. Listen, Shuno. You don't listen. You want to speak. You only prepare your speech. You should listen. Put your mic away. I don't want to hear you. Listen now. Okay? Anecdote. Mother Yashoda. Sometimes small Krishna baby cannot fall asleep. So Krishna asked Mama, can you tell me a good night story? And then Mother Yashoda, she told the story about Ramachandra, how they were in exile in the forest, and how Ravana came and kidnapped Sita. And then Lord Ram was in complete anxiety. Where is my Sita? And then Mother Yashoda was telling about Ram's consort, dear consort, Sita Devi was kidnapped. He meet Krishna, small baby Krishna called, Lakshman, bring me the bow and arrow and go, let's go and hunt after this Ravana and get him back, Sita. Krishna told. So immediately reminded him about his Leela as Ram. Other anecdote. Listen. Other anecdote. One time, she narrated her baby boy Krishna about Singhadev. One time the Lord appeared as Singhadev, half man, half lion. And he came out of a pillar just for the satisfaction of his dear devotee Prahlad. So he came, he jumped out of the pillar. And he was screaming, big roar. And he took this Hiranyakashipu on the lap and ripped him apart like a wasp. And then Krishna heard about that, he had a big smile on his face. He was very happy to hear this story and the remembrance about Nrisingha avatar. So Krishna, he knows all about this avatar because they're all of avatars of him. They're his avatars. These avatars are not independent of Krishna. They're Krishna's avatars. Krishna's pastimes in the different spheres of the universe and in the spiritual world, in the material world, for the satisfaction of his various devotees with different moods. Because all the avatars, Krishna wants to fulfill the desires of all his devotees. Therefore, he appears in so many different avatars to fulfill their desires. Because every devotee has every living entity have an especial relationship with Krishna. And Krishna, he knows that and he reveals himself accordingly. The Dhammi Bodhi Yoga. Yeah, 22 or 24, doesn't matter. That's only main ones, there are many more. That's actually uncountable. Every Krishna Balarams is 24, otherwise 22. Because Krishna Balarama are not considered real avatars, their origin. So Krishna is the original and the first expansion of Balarama, and from Balarama all other expansions come. his Sankarshan. Therefore, there are 22. Without Krishna Balaram, it's 22. And with Krishna Balaram, it's 24. And with if you count Balaram and Krishna not as avatar, then it's 23. Okay? Okay, Brahmachari. Now we can speak. Not anymore.
Satisfied.
You see, anew. Therefore I told you, don't speak, just listen, Shuno, then everything will be okay. You will be satisfied. You are satisfied or angry now on me? You are satisfied or angry on me now? Other question? You? Go. Good, then everything clear. Hare Krishna, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.